Now, one of the things I did in preparation for our trip along the Wild Atlantic Way was I went into a bookshop and bought a book called Exploring Ireland's Wild Atlantic Way, A Motorcycle Odyssey. And the book was written by Eugene O'Loughlin, who happens to be here today and joins us. Good morning to you, Eugene.
Good morning, Ryan.
And congratulations on the book.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, I've been really enjoying it. Because it's the quintessential guide to this extraordinary odyssey. And all you need to do is pick it up. There's a little mapping, if you like, at the start of each section, and it gives you a little potted history of the places and the towns and the villages. What a lovely project to have to do.
Well, I certainly enjoy doing it, and certainly enjoy putting the book together. The mappings that you mentioned, they highlight all the different discovery points that Fáilte Ireland have identified along the way. So they're a great kind of a skeleton that you can link your way through. But it's much more than just the 159 discovery points. Along the way, there's lots and lots of little gems there.
So you went, I think you went from south to north.
Yeah, I decided to go from, I started in Kinsale and I ended up in just north of Derry in Muff on the border, and I did it that way because I'm riding a motorbike and it's easy to pull in on the left hand side, and you don't have to cross the road every time you stop anywhere.
Yeah.
There's lots of laybys and lots of locations that you can pull in and see all the views, and lots of parking for everybody. But in some towns, for example, it can be get like here today, it can be very, very busy, and a bike is such a fantastic way to just pull up anywhere you like.
It's the best right now. You know, I've that's the bike there. I see it. Okay, it's a QED.
Yeah.
The only thing I drive on occasion is that my little Vespa, the hairdryer. But I know what it's like to be on a bike, not as something. Is that a Harley?
It's a Harley Davidson Heritage Softail. Yeah, it's a proper bike.
But I know just.
No offense to Vespas.
Not at all. But I'm just. I know what it's like to have the wind in your face driving. Like you smell and see things. And the bike is much more convenient than a road going down the little roads, the borings.
You really feel much more in touch with the road.
And
that kind of gives you a personal connection with a journey like this. This was 2,750 kilometers for me, just slightly longer than the actual official length of the route because I did. You know, I left it and went in and out of it from time to time. But you are really close to the road, and even on the narrow roads of the Wild Atlantic Way, you're right beside the hedges and you're right beside the fields, and yet the wind is in your face and you can almost touch the road on the ground.
That's been one of the most beautiful parts of this week, is the smells of the the fields and the sea and everything else.
Yeah, the sea smell is great. You get the agricultural smell every now and again.
Yeah, we got a bit of a sheep's head last night.
But the sea is fantastic.
Yeah. What were your knockout moments along the way?
Well, I had many, and I also have to be careful I'm in Cork, so obviously I had lots of knockout moments in Cork. What really attracted me to it was, yes, of course, the likes of the Cliffs of Moher and so on, the big attractions, but I went to places like Towhead down here in Cork, and I went right out to the end, and up at the very end there's a tower called the Gorta Corsig Tower. It's a lookout tower that was built in the Napoleonic times, and there's lots of these towers like this around the west coast of Ireland. You can see them in Golem Head in Connemara, and up in Malin Head there's one up there as well, and these were the equivalent of Martello Towers that you and I would know. They were built during the Napoleonic Wars, and I'm up there and I'm looking around, and it's at the top of a hill. It was very, very difficult to get up there because the road was very difficult.
Yeah.
And my bike actually fell over, and it's quite difficult to lift a 400 kilogram Harley Davidson.
But you're
back
a big
up.
Fella, Eugene. You'd be well able.
I had some help from Brian and Eileen, who lived down there in Towhead, who came out and offered me tea and so on as well. So that was really, really good. And then I had never heard of the Slieve League Cliffs in Donegal, and so I was staying in a B&B in Killybegs, and the landlady drew me a map and said, these are the places that you should see on the Wild Atlantic Way in Donegal. And she'd hand-drawn map.
Lovely.
And she said, first of all, the Slieve League Cliffs, go there. They're bigger and taller than the Cliffs of Moher. And they're wow. And the great thing about it is I could ride my motorbike right up to the edge.
Yeah.
Okay. Unlike in Cliffs of Moher, where you're parked,
Yeah, we were 50, there. Yeah, you're parked miles
quite a bit away.
From
you
much,
are
yeah,
a bit.
Yeah, yeah.
And then not long after that, then I'm heading north, and I'm just, adrenaline's still flowing. I'm thinking, this is great. I'm going around Donegal. I've another 2 days to go on the trip. And I come to the Glengesh Pass, and I had never been there before. And it's a fantastic kind of alpine valley leading down
gorgeous.
To the town of Ardara. And then Hornhead is fantastic up in Donegal as well. Belmullet and Achill in County Mayo were were standout moments for me. Yeah. And making little connections with places, with people and historic moments.
Well, I don't like the word charming because it's people kind of misread it, I think. But there are charming, and I'm trying to use it in the most correct context, charming nuggets in the book about people you meet who you might be sitting across or near in a B&B, for example, or it could be the B&B owner or something. There's a very friendly, convivial vibe to the book too, and to the towns and villages you visit.
Yes, there are. And first of all, the people you meet in B&Bs are wonderful.
Yeah.
I had, you know, my first B&B, I had a meeting or shared a table with a guy who had been over for his brother's funeral, and we had a kind of a nice but sad conversation about funerals. And that was in Cormacsharry.
Yeah.
And here in Bantry, I stayed here in Bantry on the way, and it's great to be back on the Wild Atlantic Way, and great to be back in Bantry. I stayed with Ailish up in the Kilmore House B&B on the Glengariff Road.
Yeah.
And she was singing to me in the morning. There was another biker there as well. And she was singing the Willie Nelson song, On the Road Again,
to us all
the time.
Yeah.
And then the Germans have a word for it called Ohrwurm. And that was an earworm, it means. And that was in my head all day. So thanks, Ailish, if you're listening, for the Ohrworm or earworm in my head.
You've just put it in your own head now for the rest of the day.
I have, indeed, as well, you know.
I hope you've been getting a great reaction to the book.
So far, so good.
Yeah. It's a great guide. And I've loved rocking into the crossing a county border, taking the book out. I've had it in the seat beside me in the car and taking out going, okay, so what's going on here and where are we going here, and there's lots of history but not too much, you know, it's not dense, which is lovely.
I set out to not make it a tour guide. I don't want it to be like, you know, 3 stars for this or 4 stars for
that. Like that at all.
And I wanted to have, you know, kind of interesting connections, and some of your earlier speakers told you about St. Brendan the Navigator and Wolfetone here. So if I would go through you know, a town like, say, Ballydehob or someplace like that, I would find a connection with the Titanic. So for example, there was, you know, two women and another lady from Westmeath bought their tickets for the Titanic and survived on the last lifeboat.
Wow, imagine.
But there's two other Titanic connections as well. The ship's doctor was a namesake of mine, Dr. William O'Loughlin, who was born in Tralee. And in up near where Alcock and Brown landed in Connemara, there's the Marconi radio station, where one of the radio station workers was a young guy called Jack Phillips, and he was the radio operator on the Titanic, sending out all those SOSs until the Titanic sank. So there's nice connections.
Fascinating with
stories like that I love, that people told me on the way, and I researched afterwards when I was writing the book as well.
Well, for anyone doing it, and I was saying, I would love to do this as a TV program. I think it'd be beautiful to love to share this with people, because it's one thing doing it on radio and it's been a joy and an absolute privilege, but I think on TV it would be beautiful to see and equally to read. You know, you've got pictures of your bike at various spots, like Where's Wally,
I had to do that.
You're very proud of your bike, but as I say, the quintessential guide to the Wild Atlantic Way. Eugene, congratulations.
Thank you very much, Ryan.
It's been good to talk to you this
morning. Pleasure to talk to you too.
Eugene O'Loughlin, that's the book is called Exploring Ireland's Wild Atlantic Way, a Motorcycle Odyssey. It does what it says on the tin, and it comes with a great recommendation. As I say, I bought it last week or the week before we were going away, and it's what you'll need to get you by. Thanks, Eugene.
Okay, thanks.